Welcome to Life, Liberty, and Equip Podcast. I'm Greg Davis, founder of Neomag, and a firm believer that life is worth living boldly, liberty should be used for good, and we all have a calling to be equipped to pursue it. Every week we explore what it means to live with intention and carry the tools and mindset that prepare us for whatever comes. We'll dive into topics around the freedoms we cherish, the gear we trust, and the skills that equip us. It's more than a podcast, it's a mission. We're coming to you live on the Neomag YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook accounts today, and we'll be bringing your live comments into the conversation. If you're listening to the recorded podcast, you can catch us every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and be part of the live. You can get involved with us on our Discord server. Link is in the chat. I encourage you to join the Neomag Insiders Club. Insiders Club is free to join, and you'll get access to exclusive episodes, discounts, and more. You can sign up using the pop-up on our website at theneomag.com. Woohoo! Hosting with me today, first off, is a man with a beard so glorious it deserves its own zip code.
That's right.
The blue-eyed guardian of the Neomag kingdom. When he's not running the shop with precision of a Swiss watch, he's probably deep diving into cartoons like his full-time job. He's a general manager, the red-bearded wonder, and the reason the gears keep turning, Mr. Nate Hills.
Wow.
To my right. Brace yourselves for the caffeinated content king himself. Fueled by enough Red Bull to power a small city, this man turns ideas into viral gold and steal into content magic. And don't even think about challenging him at the range. With a handgun, he is a dead ringer every single time. It's a man behind the camera and the bullseye, Mr. Michael Billings.
I like these.
And
I'm afraid.
Finally, the elder statesman of Neomag. Not just our oldest employee, but the wise Yoda of sales and a certified YouTube legend. He's been closing deals since before Wi-Fi was cool. And his online fame has only matched by his charm and wit. Bow before the sales samurai himself, Tiberius Giblin.
Oh, no.
All right, I gotta go, guys. It was good. It was fun.
Oh,
see you later. How much time did you spend on ChatGPT?
very little. I thought that was fun, though. Did you guys have fun with that?
That was great.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, old
that
man
was,
over
that
here.
Was a great.
Can we turn this volume
surprise
up?
Well, ironically, you want your volume up. I just want my ears to stop ringing. I worked out too hard, and now my ears are ringing. You just turned mine okay up.
I'm not sure.
Which is fine.
The numbers are backwards. I think I'm one.
Yeah, Mike's one.
Yeah, that's me.
Anyways.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, everybody.
Well, hi.
Hello.
The YouTube legend. The elder. What did you call him?
Hold on. The elder statesman of Neomag.
The elder statesman. I
the
like
wise
that.
Yoda of sales. And a certified YouTube legend.
I dislike all three of you.
I didn't come up with it.
Just for now.
This was a surprise.
That's why I didn't put it in the show notes. I wanted it to be a surprise for you guys.
The beard. What is my beard? Deserves its own zip code? Wow.
It does, for whatever reason. I'm not sure where that came from. I mean, the blue-eyed guardian of Neomag
like
Kingdom.
I like blue-eyed guardian. The red beard is correct, although it's almost more white at this point than it is red.
Oh, gosh.
But it's not that. It's been bigger.
It's definitely been bigger.
This is pretty tame. And
I couldn't like measure it without things getting weird.
That would not be the weirdest thing that's happened.
But I also didn't have measurements of previous, so I didn't have a way to like, you know, quantify
the beard size.
The size.
He's combing through files, trying to look at your pictures of the beard.
I was gonna say this is tame. Although we're growing it out.
I think you need like a Neomag cape to go with that blue eye guardian title.
Yes.
Mm. Maybe like a Thor's hammer.
I don't think we have a cape.
I do have a lab coat.
So we have lab coats?
Lab coats, yeah. We have wigs.
We have some costumes.
I have the shopkeeper from Frozen costume at my house.
I have that.
We have to get a cane.
We have some Christmas. What's our Christmas set?
Well, we used to have Elf. I assume he's still around here somewhere.
Yeah, I think Elf's still around. We have a Santa.
We have Santa stuff.
You've been Santa several times.
Santa.
Christmas. I don't know. Do we have anything else? We borrowed the bunny from Victor.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just get a blow-up suit? Just it doesn't matter what it's a dinosaur.
Just
or
any of them.
Just one of those that you walk around and it's just
probably
you wiggle and it wiggles.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
I thought you were talking about something else, Mike.
That's a doll. Like, that's not a suit.
No, not appropriate.
And he doesn't need to get one of those. He already has one. Speaking of, Michael, what's going on with you lately?
Well, I'm the slow one moving around the shop right now. The other day, I was on my knees packing boxes, very light boxes, mind you. Actually, just let me subtract the plural part of that just for one box.
Box.
And I moved my big toe. Like, that's as much of an explanation that I can give that just caused the pain. So finding out, I've got some underlying back issues, and it is a pain in the back, pun intended. Other than that, I got sponsored by First Form, so I'm like Woo-hoo! A First Form athlete now, which is super awesome to have.
Also ironic because you can't move.
Yeah. Do they know that you're broken? Do they know you're broken?
In the call, I said, I was like, listen. I was like, I'll jump out of planes. I'll do things crazily, but like, if you need me to just breathe.
If you need me to move boxes, I'm out.
I was like, I can't walk.
I'm injured, so... that's the slow progress of healing is going to the chiropractor and getting that taken care of and getting adjusted. It is driving me nuts because I'm so active and I want to do things. And it's not that I'm incapable. It's just I know if I do it at the level that I want to, I'm going to probably further some injury. So trying to take it very easily this week just because monsoon range day is coming up this weekend. That's right. My big exciting kit and caboodle. I get to see the guys. I get to shoot a little bit this weekend. Get to get some cool content. So that's kind of what's going on with me at the moment, being an old man.
And, are you the youngest one in the group, though?
No.
Nate?
That would be me.
Hang on. Could I say, pipe down, Grandpa. Kids are talking. So
get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Yeah, so just light stretches. I want to get back to where we can get some training in this fall before this Christmas and Potbelly comes on for Thanksgiving and the holidays. But yeah, that's kind of quite a lowdown for the last
week. If you need help with stretching, let me or Nate know.
Yeah, I could absolutely. If we like, we might hear screaming though. So just
I just get volunteered to stretch Mike out.
Yep.
Please record it. I want it all on video. Mm-hmm.
From our caffeinated content king. Just want to make sure that we get content.
I'm good to go. I drink water, though. I just want you guys to know.
I'm proud of you.
I had a water bottle. I'm having at least one water bottle in between a Red Bull if I have two in a day. But
that's good.
My limit is two, but I don't even do two a day now. And the Monster wasn't mine. So it's a full record. Yeah. It wasn't mine, but I put it in the fridge.
So ORD was how many weeks ago? I've been wrestling daily.
To bring it in?
On if I should bring it to you.
It wasn't, I don't even think it's mine. I think it's Joe's.
Got back from RD and I was emptying the little cooler and there was a Monster in there.
It's not mine. I wasn't there. Oh, it's Tibbs.
It was yours, Tibbs?
There it is.
Well, I kind of figured it probably was.
What color is it?
Because it's orange. Because you're not really a Monster guy. You're a Red Bull guy.
They gave me kidney stones. I tried it again the other day and the taste. I know everybody loves and glorifies the white Monster, but.
The white one is my jam.
Red Bull is king.
Although I did pick up yesterday. I can't think of the last time I drank a Monster. But I stopped at the gas station yesterday. I'm on my way to get, my way to my tattoo appointment. I just want something to drink. I was sitting there. And the entire, I went to the big gas station truck stop in Ashland. Mm-hmm. It's huge, right? All of the refrigerators, the whole thing wasn't working. Everything was like warmer than the room temperature. The only thing they had is like this little fridge with some Monsters in it. So I did get, it was like a mango something. It was like some special edition one, but it was a mango and it was delicious.
Okay. Was it like a colorful bluish orange color can?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I like those a lot.
It was so good.
Monsters were great. They gave me kidney stones. And then I was like, okay, we can't do this anymore. Switch to Red Bull and sweet tea.
Well, it was probably.
They also gave me kidney stones.
I don't think it was just the Monster. It was the lack of any water and it was the gallons of cheap sweet tea.
Okay, just for full transparency, for those of y'all that don't know, we were in Texas. It was the dead of the heat summer. I loved it. I've been living in Florida, so the guys laugh at me because it's freezing all the time here. And when it's hot, they don't like the heat. I can tolerate the heat. But that entire weekend was, praise Jesus, by God, that was the best sweet tea from the South. You do not have it in Ohio. We have sugar water or unsweet tea, you can put packets in. It's just not the same. That was such good sweet tea. You could not turn it down. So
I did.
You did. Yep. I did. Tim, did you?
The kidney stone.
Tim turned it down.
None of y'all drank
some,
it.
But I don't think my opinion matters with sweet tea being I'm from the North.
He said he's from the North. You guys are born and raised here too. I'm never going to win the sweet tea battle with you guys. It's like your love for Liquid Death is sweet tea. I got muted. It did kick me for a second.
Cut his mic off.
He's muting himself, not
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
But anyways, just drink water.
And now I muted you.
Well, Patriotic Penguin says you need an ibuprofen sponsorship or maybe Excedrin because it has caffeine.
There you go.
Which I think is fair.
I would eat those like candy, like sweet tarts.
That's the problem. Yeah. And then we have another comment from Facebook. It's Facebook. This All is right. awesome.
Wow.
Miguel, I'm not going to say your last name, Miguel. I'm sorry. Says count to 10, more aqua.
Count so to Hey, fair enough. I know. Drink more water. One
That's
day.
This is for you.
Nate was doing posts about hydration.
I did yesterday.
He sure did.
There's a lot of stickers on that bottle. You guys have so many stickers on your bottles.
Except for you don't have a Tiberius sticker.
Who has not given me a Tiberius sticker?
Yeah. Whose fault is that?
Buy one.
Where?
They're not for sale.
Okay. I go back to who hasn't given me a Tiberius sticker?
I will bring you some with some candy corn.
Ugh.
And raisin bran.
And there still and won't be bread. A Tiberius sticker on my water bottle.
What's going on with you guys? What's new with you guys?
Yeah, what's going on, Nate?
My ears are ringing.
I don't think that's...
That's probably not normal. A good thing.
No, I worked out too hard, and now my ears are ringing. I have man camp this weekend.
Mm.
That's
want to explain what that is to our listeners?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
All right, Tim, what's going on?
Man camp is a men's retreat down near Cincinnati, Ohio. It's outside of a non-existent town called Felicity, but it's an event. Last time I heard, there was close to 3,000 men signed up.
Wow.
It is now they said there's representatives from every state in the U.S. and multiple countries now that come out for this event. It's pretty cool. So it's put on by Crossroads Church down in Cincinnati. And you go down, they have a very, very large piece of property that everyone comes and kind of backpacks in. You know, it's not serious backpacking. You know, it's not mountains, stuff like that. You just walk in from your parking area and then you go and find a spot with the guys that you come in with. You set up camp Friday. So we'll get down there midday Friday, set up our camping spot. We'll have worship Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning with some interspersed activities throughout that. But a lot of time just spent with the guys you go down with. And then just a lot of time out in nature. You know, I'll put my phone down when I leave the truck Friday after we start hiking in. I'll take my watch off, take my phone. Those all leave in the truck. I won't touch any of that until I get back to the truck on Sunday. We'll just hang out, do stuff. They have some fun. So you go down what they call as a unit. So your group of guys you go with is a unit, and they'll do some unit activities like.
What's your unit name again?
We are the Mountain House Mafia. So if you are familiar with backpacking, there's the Mountain House meals, the freeze-dried food. In the first year that we all went down together, most of us brought Mountain House because they provide one meal at lunchtime on Saturday, which is they break out these massive charcoal grills from that they literally have to pull as a trailer behind trucks. They break out these massive charcoal grills, and they cook, I think last year was like 10,000 brats or something like that. And they all get eaten. They all disappear. Yeah. But some ungodly number of brats, and they have chips and, you know, all of the stuff you need on the side. So they provide that meal, but every other meal you have to provide for yourself. So we all brought Mountain House meals because that's the easiest thing to pack in. It's easier than trying to drag coolers and all of that other stuff. The one thing we do as a tradition is we bring steaks that are frozen the first night. So they thaw out as you drive down, thaw out as you hike in, and then we cook them over the fire the first night. But after that, we just do Mountain House. So we named ourselves the Mountain House Mafia. I made t-shirts for it and everything. It's kind of fun. But so our unit, the Mountain House Mafia, we'll do on Saturday, they always do like an obstacle course, which is really just a goofy run through the woods where they give you some kind of obstacles. And I don't mean like climbing over ropes and stuff, but they give your team objectives. So the first year, somebody had to carry a live cricket the whole time and not kill it. One of your team members was blindfolded the whole time.
Oh, wow.
And you had to, I mean, you didn't have to run, but right. You want to run. You want to go as That'd fast as you can, right? So one of your team members is blindfolded and you have to launch a potato at a target. And in the midst of that, there's guys actually running a part of the course underneath you launching potatoes. So as you're running that portion, you're dodging potatoes because no one's launching them well. So it's things like that. It's quite a lot of fun. And the worship is amazing. I mean, there's literally 3,000 guys under a giant, basically it's a circus tent. It's not a circus tent, but that's the best way I can describe it. Yep. It's the best thing you can get for 3,000 guys to all pack underneath. They put on amazing worship. This year, I think they've secured him. Bear Grylls is going to come speak. Mm. I didn't know he's a believer, but mm-hmm. he actually just wrote a book all about theology. It was really interesting, but they're going to have Bear Grylls come speak. Tib, you're laughing.
I'm laughing at Dan. I'm sorry. Not at you. Dan from North Coast Tactical.
Oh, okay.
nope, sorry.
Dan, you can come down anytime and eat wieners on the mountain. It's going to be great. But Bear Grylls is going to come speak this year, which is really cool. They've got a singer from, I'm not going to remember what group he's from.
Creed.
Nope. That would be awesome.
Scott Stapp.
I'm not going to remember his name, but it doesn't matter. They've got some really cool guys coming out to watch this year, or to come be a part of it this year. That's going to be really, really neat. It's just a neat event. It's focused on men. They talk about man stuff. And the beforehand, you'll if you are following the pastor that helps put on this event, what you'll see is he goes out to that property, prays over that property. The staff goes and prays over that property. The church that puts it on owns it. It's a lot of acreage. They actually just bought more to facilitate more of this kind of thing because they're running out of space for 3,000 guys. They don't just use it for only this event. They use it for other ones, but this one in particular is their biggest camp that they put on. So they bought more property. But leading up to the event, they're praying over it and prepping the ground. They have a tent that literally is just there for prayer. Guys go in, they can get prayed for. And they call it the MASH tent, like MASH from the old TV show. And they have guys that their whole sole purpose the entire weekend is to sit in that tent and pray for people. That's it. It is really, really a neat event. So, Dante Bowie. Thank you, Dan. He's coming to sing. So it's going to be really, really cool.
Awesome. He's great.
But, yeah, so it's going to be a really, really neat event. This is my third or fourth year, I can't remember, going down. So we leave Friday morning. We'll drive down as a convoy. There's three or four vehicles that'll go down. I think my unit's grown to 12 guys from six. We were six when we started, seven, and we're now up to 12. So we've got two new guys coming this year. We had two or three new guys last year, whatever that math ends up being. So, yeah, it's going to be neat. It'll be a fun event. It's really, really neat. So
I'll just check on the weather for you.
Friday, at least last time I checked, Friday and Saturday looks nice. It'll rain into Sunday.
Yeah, it's like Saturday night into Sunday.
Listen, last year, it was literally a hurricane. Yeah, like, we walked in last year. Here, story time, fun time. So we were driving down. So my best friend, Eli, last year was his first year, and we were watching. I don't remember which hurricane was coming in, but there was a hurricane literally hitting the coast, so everything was rainy and windy. And he texted me like Thursday before the event. He goes, "At what point do they cancel this? Because, you know, we're sleeping in tents. We're not, you know, sleeping in campers or in a hotel. It's like, when do they cancel this event?" I said, "I don't think they do. This isn't a canceling thing." He goes, "So when do we cancel?" I said, You can not go. I said, "I'm going. There's not a, I'm not going. We're going to go." And he's like, "Okay." And we got down there, and the whole drive down, it was literally my truck was being like blown on the road. Not like dangerous, but you know, you could feel the truck moving by the wind blowing. It was raining the whole time. We park. And as we walked up to the, you know, check-in tent, I watched because they do put porta-johns on the property, so you don't have to poop in the woods. We all poop in the woods. You don't have to poop in the woods. I watched a row of porta-johns get blown over by the wind.
Whoa.
The wind was blowing so much. And it continued like that. I mean, there was breaks. It wasn't like that the whole time. But you watch tents getting ripped out of the ground a little bit and everything. So the joke was it wasn't man camp. It was hurricamp last year. By Sunday, it had calmed down. It really, it was by Saturday mid-morning, it was fine. It wasn't a big deal. But it was wet and muddy. There was guys that fully accepted the circumstances and basically just were in shorts running around in mud the whole time, which was funny to watch. Most of them were younger. The older guys were a little more grumpy about it, but it was a great time regardless. This year should be much, much more reasonable than that.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a great event. If you have an opportunity to go, I would say 100% go.
Yeah.
I would say try and find us, but there's 3,000 guys. Good luck. Yeah. Really. I mean, it's not.
Yeah. I would actually, yeah. Every year you come back from it and you know, share stories about it. It does sound like something I would love to.
It's really fun.
I love to do.
So anyways.
Very good.
That's what I'm doing.
Tib.
So, something I haven't told any of you guys is I joined the Knights of Columbus this week. Mm. For those who don't know, Knights of Columbus is a group of men's Christian group that, you know, supports the local community, supports our local church. For the past couple of years, I wanted to do more as far as, you know, volunteering and helping and serving more. And it's very easy just to get caught up in the hecticness of one's life like I have. So I wanted to make a point of joining one. We have quite a few local groups. You know, we have the Lions and Knights of Columbus and there's two others. So I looked into all of them. And one, I didn't want a group that was overly political, and the Knights are not. And I wanted to make sure the group had a lot of opportunities and a diverse set of opportunities to volunteer and give back and help people. And I was blown away by these gentlemen, the local group of Knights. Like, I could sit here for 20 minutes and tell you all the stuff they do. I won't, obviously, but like 4 times a year, they do things with local people from a like mentally handicapped local folks. They go to Jamaica once a year and they do.
That's building. Why you signed up.
Maybe. That didn't hurt. No, they go to Jamaica and they build houses for like abandoned.
I was trying to be nice.
abandoned that. Kids that are all handicapped in one way or another. They That's have cool. mum sales and the blood drives and breakfast, and they do things for Habitat with Humanity. They have an acre garden here locally, and this year they pulled 9,000 pounds of vegetables out of their garden and donated all of it to local food pantries and whatnot. So you get the idea, but there's so many opportunities to give back. And October 25th is my first thing. They're building a house for Habitat for Humanity, and I'll show up that morning and help where I can. I'm not a very good builder, but I can pick things up, so I'll do what I can.
That's awesome.
Now,
to keep the nail out of my hand.
I suspect I'm going to be very disappointed in this answer.
You're going to ask what I was going to ask about.
But when you join, do you have to wear armor, and do they knight you with a sword?
Yeah, no, that's what I was so disappointed.
Or do you get to carry a sword?
Even a step further than that, since COVID, they started doing it online. They don't even do it in person.
Lame.
And I nicely said to him, like, the online ceremony looked really nice. Have you guys ever thought about bringing this back in person? And they're all like, no. No.
Lame.
Yeah, it was lame. But it's gonna...
If you came in armor and with a sword, would they...
Yeah, would they be disappointed?
Would they have a problem with that?
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah. I just think, go to the Habitat for Humanity event in a Knights of Columbus,
yes,
full suit of armor, and just stand there, sword in air. Yeah! Build! That's what you have to do the whole time.
Yes.
And you have to have your son follow you around with coconuts.
Oh, that's true. It's true. He can be your faithful squire, Patsy.
That's exactly what we'll do.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I'm excited for... I don't know the word I want to use, but I'm going to say the opportunity.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of the opportunity to give back more, because that's something I wanted to do, and I don't think I've done enough.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I like that.
Thank you.
What about you? What did you do yesterday?
So I went. I had a tattoo appointment yesterday. It's been, honestly, it's probably been a couple years. I was trying to do the math.
What did you say about it?
It hurts.
Aww.
I do not remember hurting this bad. No, I basically had the top half of my arm kind of redone. Some of the tattoos were almost 15 years old, if not actually, there's a couple were older than that. And at the time, like each one just kind of got pieced. The top half of my arm just kind of just got pieced together and kind of just fit together. And then the bottom half of my arm was all one cohesive thing. And so it just didn't go together real well. So I wanted him to kind of fix that. And he did. His name's Dano. Main Street Tattoo down in Ashland. Highly, highly recommend Dano. All the artists there are just top-notch people, top-notch artists. And so it's always, honestly, I sat in the chair for 3 hours, but I would say at least half of that time is us just chatting, you know. Mm-hmm. the whole time he's not digging in. So it's fun just to hang out. That's honestly part of the reason why I keep going back. I just enjoy kind of the conversation and hanging out. And he's almost 60 years old. He's a veteran. He's got stories. He's been tattooing professionally for like 40 years.
Wow. Or
something like that. And so he's, the stories he has of people that come in and their stories and just all kinds of things is really cool. So
speaking of tattoos, what are we doing?
Oh yeah. So while I was there, I booked the four of us a tattoo appointment together. We're all going to go get matching tattoos together. Tibbs very excited. So we had a friend do some designs for us. Actually, the NeoMag logo you see behind us is from him. The logo for our podcast comes from him.
I don't know if you can see it.
But we call it the Lightning logo. Yep. And we have it on. Yeah, Tibbs pulling up on his phone. For those of you that are online, you can kind of see it.
Shout out Roberto.
Yeah, Roberto. So we're gonna get that. As soon as we saw the art for that from Roberto, all four of us are like, well, that's going to be a tattoo. That we just kind of immediately said, yeah, that needs to be a tattoo.
So have you guys decided where you're putting it?
Negative.
I think maybe on my right side of my right calf, maybe.
No, I'm going to do it on my leg, too.
I'm saying it can't be my right leg.
We should do it on the
right leg is reserved.
Yeah, the left leg's reserved.
I can't do it on my right leg. I don't know if I want to do it on my arm or not. I feel like my arm is reserved for other things. I'm not sure. So I think it might just have to be my left leg. Like, that's kind of where it's at. I think that's just kind of, I don't want to say like that's all it's got, but I think that's kind of where it's going.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How about you, Tib?
I don't know. Either my left arm, maybe my leg.
We should all do it on the same spot on the leg too.
Well, you said your left leg is reserved though.
I'm doing it on the right leg.
Oh, well, I guess we could all just do it on the same throat tattoo. Dan, you're right.
Oh, yes.
Throat.
I said the back of the ear. Like that's the one for all of us.
It's going to have to be too big for it to, like, you couldn't fit it.
Oh, no, I just think it's hilarious to see.
Yeah, so that'll be fine. When Tib comes into town for our company Christmas party.
So we're all going to be hobbling.
We're going to get tattoos, and then we're going to go drive go-karts for an hour. Woo-hoo. So just think about where the tattoo's going and then having to sit in a go-kart for an hour.
Left leg, I don't have to use that foot.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Top of your foot. No. Absolutely not, Dan. Ouch. No.
That sounds painful.
What if you did it on the palm?
Oh, no.
Oh, that'd be awful, too.
Yeah, nope.
So just it would probably wear away.
It'd wear away so fast.
Yeah, but at one point, of just kind of, yeah. So if you never got a tattoo, it's very important to stay relaxed. If you tense up, it's going to make it worse. If you hold your breath, you're going to pass out. So you have to stay relaxed and just make sure you keep breathing. And there were several points where, like, we're just kind of mid conversation. I'm just talking to him, and he hits a spot, and I just go, and he was like, "I'm going to have to get you a Pamprin." I asked him, like, does this hurt worse as you get older? He says, absolutely.
And
I'm like, good.
Eat something. So, there's been two occasions now. I have 14
I've
tattoos.
I've seen people pass out.
That I was like, I need to stop. And I had to pop a Jolly Rancher in my mouth just because I didn't eat. And I was drinking Red Bull caffeine, right? And that was it. So eat something.
Yeah. And then outside of that, just my kids are busy, which means I'm busy taking them to their kid things. My daughter had homecoming last weekend.
How was that?
She said it was great. It was a good time. She had like four of her girlfriends over at noon. They started getting ready at noon.
Goodness That's gracious. Dumb.
Pictures were at 5. Yeah, so a bunch of girls in the house, but it was fun to watch.
Did they play the game, the football game, too, on Friday?
Yeah.
Did they win?
Oh, yeah. We went to the game, and they were up like 48-0 at half.
Oh.
So we left.
I was like, yeah, sounds good.
It's good homecoming.
So, all right, well, that kind of wraps up our last segment. Let's head into Liberty.
Liberty isn't about what we can get away with. It's about how we use our freedom to serve. Let's explore what that looks like today.
So, Tib had the idea for today's topic. If you guys haven't seen, there's a new law in California raising big questions. Well, it's not even really big questions.
Big anger.
Big anger. Big mad. So, California recently passed Assembly Bill 1127, set to take effect July 1st of 2026. It bans licensed dealers from selling many semi-automatic pistols that feature a cruciform trigger bar. I never heard called that before. It's kind of cool. A design characteristic of most Glock pistols and similar models. The state argues this aims to prevent guns from being easily converted into fully automatic weapons using illegal devices known as Glock switches.
Oh, no.
Well, the law does not confiscate existing firearms. It restricts future sales of many Glock-style pistols and could set a precedent for design-based bans. Gun rights advocates are preparing constitutional challenges, of course, arguing the law punishes legal firearms and owners instead of targeting illegal modifications.
Mm. Wah, wah.
So what's your guys' thoughts on this?
Well, I was trying to look for it. Not because I for sure know this is a thing, but I believe either someone in the comments can correct me or we can find out at some point. But I think there's actually already been precedent set that you can't just ban something completely based on its ability to be turned into something fully automatic,
yeah.
Right? Because arguably you can say that about AR lowers, all you have to do is some simple drilling and some extra little bits, and that could be turned into a fully automatic firearm, right? So I don't know that for sure. I was trying to look for it actually based on this conversation. I didn't have a whole lot of time to actually sit down and research it, but I believe there's already been court cases that have gone through saying you cannot make a law banning a gun based on its ability to be converted into a fully automatic firearm because its design wasn't designed to do that, or that's not the right word.
It's not currently made to.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Just because it can be converted into doesn't mean it in its current form is or was intended to. So again, I don't know that for sure. I was trying to look for it. If that precedent is there, there's a good chance that that makes it easier for this to get shot down. It's California. They're going to continue.
Yeah, so they're probably going to do what they want anyway.
But I did, as I was looking for the case to say that, California is not the first one to do this, though. Mm. New York was trying to do this. I don't know if it went through specifically around Glock. Maryland was trying to do something about this. It's all to do with the, what are we calling them?
Glock switches.
The Glock switches. Because Illinois is angry about them because of Chicago. They're all getting bent out of shape because it's, you know, you can 3D print this and stick it in there and, you know, boom, it's fully automatic. So there's multiple states that are attempting to make this a thing. The argument, of course, being, well, if we make that illegal, then you can't get it. How is that different than you've already made the switch itself illegal, owning that?
It's more illegal.
Right. Now yeah, it's...
There's already multiple...
Yeah. So anyways, there is potentially, I can't say that I found it. I was looking for it in with limited time that there is precedent set that could make this a easier time to get through or get shot down in court. So we'll see.
Yeah, it will get reversed. To piggyback that, the Supreme Court said when things are common use, I forgot if it was the Bruin case or a different one, but they said if something is common use like a Glock, you can't You can't ban it. And they've talked about that before. I think more than anything else, Gavin Newsom would like to be president, and he's trying to do things to bolster his appearance to the Democratic Party. And this is one of the many things he's trying to do to get that Democratic nomination.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I hope you guys are right, because it does set a very dangerous precedent to ban things based on capabilities of what it could do.
Right.
I did a little bit of searching, because I was like, you know, I wonder if this came up because of something. Like, has there been a rash of crime of full auto Glocks being used on things? And I actually couldn't find any news source reporting any crimes that have happened with full auto converted things. I did find some with people found with weapons that had been converted, or the head clock switches and stuff like that. But there really wasn't any news stories of shootings.
Chicago, there is.
I'm sure there is, but just, yeah. I was just looking at California. Like,
yeah, you know, I'm not saying California. I'm simply saying in my brief search, I found some in Chicago, not California. There's not necessarily a precedent in California for this thing, but it's Gavin Newsom. He's going to be like, well, I see something that we don't like, so let's make it a thing here.
When
historically, they don't like guns in California. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, well, they don't like freedom and guns for sure. And I think I was going to say something.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny to piggyback. I'm jumping on both of your guys or all of your backs to piggyback off of you for this one. I do think Gavin Newsom is definitely trying to entice the political candidacy for president. I think that's kind of the narrative that it looks like that's the route he's trying to push for. So you're inciting that. What you do look at in the past is you can look at California ban the magazine capacity, right? So there was already a restricting and limitations on guns, and then type of guns, where you had to have specific modifications to a gun in California to be California compliant. So yes, does this potentially pose a risk to the gun community and the respect of firearms, and them just finding another alleyway to try to backdoor ban something? Yeah, for sure. But like you guys have also said too, these things have been illegal. And if you're going to take something away from the law abiding citizen, it doesn't mean that I'm incapable of getting it. It just means I have a moral compass that says I'm not going to do it because it is now illegal.
Right.
And that's the same thing that you could apply across the board. But people with ill intent or evil acts are going to do exactly what they want to. They have no regard for somebody else. So evil is going to act upon itself. So you take it away and they're still going to find it. If you take something from me, if I work hard enough or look long enough or have the right connections, I can get a hold of something. So I don't think you're ever going to obsolete or ban or get rid of anything in that relation. Now, to your point, and full auto Glocks and everything else, you see a lot of guns being taken off the street that have them, but can you find the crimes that are consistent with that? Probably not. There's probably not a lot of data out there for it. But again, back to the precedent that it's already illegal to begin with. So
there's a lot of illegal things happening before that.
Right. So, you know, I don't want to go into the political side, but I will mention this just to kind of be a caveat to that. And the FRT trigger is true. We're in the industry also creating our own loop or a gray area that's kind of, you want to push back on us, well, we'll find our way to circumnavigate the grammatical pretext in the law, right? So, because that's always, you find the wording and you adjust the gray area, and the FRT trigger is not making a gun a full auto, but you pull the trigger and it, every time you let up, that gun cycles. You can't tell the difference, right? I couldn't tell the cyclic rate between that and just pulling a full auto trigger. But the last point that I have to this is, again, not to be political, was if you look at Memphis, they brought in the military police and they brought in the National Guard to help with the crime. And this is the huge benefit to this, is they found 49 missing children within a week, right? Whoa. So that's amazing. They got drugs off the street. They got kids recovered. They got criminals put in jail. They got warrants served and issued. Now, I'm not an advocate for putting military in the streets, but sometimes when you need to clean it up and clean up the streets and the crime that's out there, and you're already limited with Blue Line and with officers or with the budget from what the states and local departments have, I think that's a good sign that we can start cleaning up some of the crimes from those bad doers or wrongdoers that have the intent of using, you know, these switches or anything of that regard.
Yeah.
But I really do believe strongly that our 2A advocates and those like the Gun Owners of America and everything are going to continue to push for all of our states and all of our rights across the board. It, like Tib said, it, at this point, California is going to do what California wants to until the Californians get fed up and tired of it and tell them that you're making laws that aren't changing anything, aren't directly impacting us in any positive way at all. You're actually just restricting the people. So that's kind of my
I just wonder when that view. What is that line? Because they've already done so much.
I feel like
when they start knocking on people's doors.
Yeah, with the military.
Military going door to door. People will pacify. They'll pacify the people until then. Or like they've been trying to do for years, they've been trying to make a North and South California. Because mm-hmm. Northern California, there's a lot of good gun owners, you know.
Really, even Eastern California.
Yeah.
It's actually just Southwest.
It's really just
southern central, coastline.
Southern, yeah.
Outside of the political aspect and even the gun side, I think people across the board in all of their respected states and the United States are kind of coming to this general consensus that enough is enough with some of these bipartisan bills, laws, and things that are put into place that are doing us no good. They're just restricting the people. And I think even Californians, like you guys are saying, it's a kind of a divide because people are saying, no, this is our state too, and these are our freedoms and our liberties that were given to us. So I do hope we have a stand against it, but I mean, I think you've got the knowledge too. For 10 years in business, you've probably faced restrictions and countless irritable moments where, you know, the ATF and being audited and coming through and checking everything. It's like, at what point do we get a trust as a company, as a business, or anything? And like Glock's been around serving the government, serving military contracts and LEOs forever, and now you're going to try to ban the number one probably seller for all of police departments across the board, even in California.
Right. So, I mean, do you think if Glock could, I'm not even sure if it's possible, like if they could manufacture the gun so that you could not put a full auto switch in it, like what do you think? Do you think they should do that if they could to try to reduce on that happening or not? What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Tib. You go first. I'll answer.
I don't think they should have to. No,
I don't think so.
Absolutely not. There's no need for it.
I was gonna say I don't think they should. But I was actually gonna go further, and I was gonna say I don't think they will either.
No, I don't think they will.
It's perfection.
They haven't changed anything, and
well, there's that
decades.
But truly, I don't think they should. But I don't think they will. Outside of the perfection thing, they don't care about the civilian sales. That's not where Glock is getting their money. It's from governments and militaries and those kind of things. And this particular thing is not going to affect any of that. So they're not going to go through any effort to change that based on one state or a couple blue states changing some legislation that's going to change their slight thing. The only thing they had to change for most of these states is like, oh, we had to make a mag that's shorter or a mag that takes less rounds, which just means I put a plastic filler in it. That's an easy thing. That wasn't a big deal. But to fully change a design simply to allow them to still get a couple thousand sales in the grand scheme of money, they're not going to change that. They don't care. And nor should they have to. It doesn't make any sense. Absolutely not.
But you have to ask yourself, like, the Glock switches, they're primarily made for government contracts, right? So somewhere along the line, there's got to be some good person that's also kind of like, here, buddy, I got
something. Is it, the government people trying to shoot full auto Glock? I think all of us here have shot a full auto Glock before. It is the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from the inside of a barn. it's ridiculous. I don't know if there's actually any
practicality.
Real practical use for it. I don't think it's military use.
There's some argument that could be made that in this would be a very small subset of scenarios that it could be used for suppression. And I don't mean this in like sound suppression, but in
fire superiority.
Right? Fire superiority in a close protection scenario. I'm trying to move somebody and I'm trying to get people to move and get and like,
it gives you
get
a,
down.
It gives you a whole 2 seconds of suppression.
That's two seconds. And it's a lot of rounds down.
But it's a lot of.
Man, that's fast. Yeah.
Not but it's a lot of downs.
Drum mag.
Well, I was going to say there's scenarios again, but it's a very specific subset. And they're not using a Glock switch. No. They're using a Glock 18, which is designed for that. They're not using a Glock switch, which is a 3D printed thing you put into the thing.
But I got to think most of anybody in that scenario probably already has a third switch on the rifle.
Well, but this is, again, you want to have something you can throw under a coat. Again, you have to put it through all the scenarios. This is a specific subset of people. This is not.
It's like an MP5, but smaller.
Correct.
Full auto.
This is a very small subset of people, not a large subset. That's why Glock designed the Glock 18 to begin with, at all.
Which is an awesome gun.
Oh, it's fantastic! Oh, so much fun.
It's fun.
Fun to shoot. Slow mo looks great.
Somebody asked for it. They didn't just design it just to design it. Somebody asked for it for a specific scenario. Was it designed for anybody? Was it designed for everybody? Absolutely not. Was it designed for a specific mission set? 100% it was. And there are people that will use it for it. I've seen guys in specific units that were given it for specific things. Is it going to be used as a regular? No, absolutely not. No. But there are scenarios that it's useful. Very narrow. Extremely narrow.
I know how to fix the issue. Just let us all have full auto guns again.
Yeah, if we all have them, that won't be a problem. Yeah. There's that funny video of the guy. He's got all, you know, they're all in multicam, so I'm assuming soldiers, right? They're all online, and he walks up, brings the gun up sideways, and it's a full auto, and they just all light it up.
So that's a Green Beret, and he's training host forces.
Yeah,
that's cool. What he's doing. I don't know why he did that video. But that's what he's doing. He's doing something. I don't know if he was trying to acclimate them to shooting, if he was making a point of shoot that direction, right? Like, this is, you know, your direction of fire we're going for. What I don't know what he was doing, but that's what who he was, and what he was doing was training host forces.
That, I still remember that video.
But anyways.
I'm with Dan. I think we need a belt-fed Glock.
I just want a saw. Can I just have a saw?
Yeah.
I want a real saw, not
2.9,
the
short stop.
Thank you.
Not the civilianized version. I want a real one. I want my saw.
Yes, please.
Well, I think just kind of wrap this. Which
I don't think we hit any of the points you have on the list.
I was just going to kind of see where the conversation went. So, but as far as this, you know, kind of how this applies to liberties is, you know, what are we doing when it comes to election time? Are we getting involved with who we're electing that are putting people in office that are doing crazy things like this? Get involved, pay attention to who you're voting. Don't just go down the line and see who has an R or who has a D next to it and just check those things off, because that's not a great way to figure out who it is that they should be voting for. That's the first thing I kind of take away from this, is like the people that are putting these things in the process are being put there by the voters. So, and the other thing is, if you live in California,
don't. It's expensive.
Or all the gun owners need to move to California and vote these people out. I would like to live in California if it wasn't for the politics. So, especially Northern California, it's beautiful.
San Diego's fantastic. I love San Diego.
And if you're going to vote for anybody, make sure they know what they're talking about with firearms. I'm so ready for somebody in the government that actually can
None of them do.
Rebuttal back and be like, nope, you're absolutely incorrect.
Dan said, couldn't be. Dan, you live in the middle of nowhere. Literally the middle of nowhere.
Dan, you could probably have a belt-fed Glock out there and no one would even know.
That's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Except the deer.
Time? All right.
The right tools, the right skills, at the right time. This is where we get equipped to live boldly and be ready for what comes next.
All right, today for Equipped, we actually have a new product dropping Friday that I'm pretty excited about. It's Nate's got a video for those of you who are watching live. He can kind of put this video. I've not seen it.
Surprise.
But he's going to put this video. So what it is a mag base. And a lot of you guys are like, okay, we've seen mag bases before. There's a couple things unique about this mag base. So the idea for this came from, I bought a Staccato C. Actually, you aren't familiar with the lineup of the Staccatos. You have the newer gen. I forget which gen they call it, 3 or 4 or something like that.
This is why you need to write the description.
They have the newer gen Staccatos, which use a smaller magazine. The CS is the first model that they came out with this. And it's their most compact version, model. Then they came out with the C, which is a slightly larger version, still using the same magazines. You have two different grip length options on a C and a CS. You have the 15-round compact grip and then the 17-round full-size grip. The when you buy the 15-round compact grip, it comes with a 15-round mag and a 17-round mag. The 17-round mag is quite a bit. It sticks out quite a bit from the bottom of the grip of the gun. The problem is with a 2011, if you over insert a magazine with a slide back, you can bend, you can damage the function of the gun. So they usually just tell you just to reload with a slide down. Well, that's not always the case, especially if you're going to shoot competitively. That should be what you always do.
You strive for.
This is what you strive for, but it's not always going to happen. And if you carry it defensively, that's likely not going to be the case. You're probably going to keep pulling the trigger and nothing's going to come out. You're like, oh no, I need to reload. So what I did is I designed a mag base for the 17 round C and CS magazine that meets up flush with the magwell of the grip. So you don't have to worry about over inserting your magazine on your Staccato C and CS. The other thing that I did on this is you can see, I think it showed in the video, there's a cutout on the side of the magazine for the Neomag to fit up in. And what this does, other than looking cool, it actually allows the magazine to sit lower in your pocket. So if you're carrying this concealed, it's going to sit lower in your pocket and conceal better. And then the other thing this does is I put like a stepped step design on it. So, there are a lot of magazines have like a grip type of thing on it. So if you get jammed and you got to grip and rip the magazine out of the magwell, it gives you something to grip onto. When it's in the magwell, it gives you a nice area to grip on. So this is it's a mag base for specific Staccato C and CS 17 round magazines going on the 15 round grip. And there's a lot of chatting going on and giggling going on over here on that.
Dan saw your double headed flashlight in your pocket.
Dan is making me giggle and he's telling me to stop giggling.
Yeah, that flashlight's awesome. Maybe next week we'll talk about the Stiletto
Pro.
Pro and Pro 2. Excuse me. Yeah, so these are launching Friday. For those of you who have the Staccato C or CS with a 15 round grip, and you want to carry a 17 round mag, especially in your pocket, it just helps really sit nice and flush. With the Neomag short clip, the magazine sits flush in your pocket. Whereas if it wasn't for the cutout, it would actually stick up. So with the extended clip, this will sit down about a half inch into your pocket. So Yeah, it's it also adds a little weight to the bottom of the magazine. Kind of helps it fall drop free. Out of your gun. Yeah, fall free a little quicker on the video that we were showing here. It really shows the mag dropping free really quickly.
It holds up well. We dropped it.
Oh, we dropped them. Yeah, even before we went to production, I went to the range and just dropped them over and over and over and over, like full mags. I was chucking them at the ground, and we did a lot of testing on it.
I have a great saying that says, "One more time."
Yeah, so over and over and over again. They are Type 3 hard code anodized. On the bottom side, there are 9 divots that we machined in the bottom. So if you want to mark them for for which, if you have multiple of these and you want to keep track of what's what, you can use those to either make numbers or just put one dot in for one magazine and 2 dots for 2 magazines.
Draw little numbers on it if you want.
3 dots for 3 magazines.
You could do a smiley face.
You do smiley faces.
Or Dan smiley asked, face. Did yes. you see, say, a price yet? Nate was laughing so much it distracted me.
That's a great question.
No, he didn't say a price.
I did not say a price. We need to finalize that, actually.
Yeah, because it drops Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be here, and I need to build the product for you. So you need to tell me the price.
And what's pending. The name? We're putting you under.
Pending price. We'll let you know.
Neomag base.
Under pressure.
I thought of that yesterday.
Did you?
Yep.
Good, because that's what I was calling the videos, Neomag base plate.
Neomag base plate. Yep, that's basically it. I'm not going to come up with some kitschy.
Well, I mean, goofy name. I don't know.
Just put it in the chat.
It's just a Neomag base.
You got.
Because I plan on coming out with more mag bases for more magazines. So,
yes. Smith & Wesson.
Glock.
Glock.
Glonk.
That will sell the most.
100% it will.
The idea
based on sales.
The idea for these, I've never fully understood. If you want to do this, it's totally fine. It's free country. But I've never understood buying a standard capacity magazine and then putting like a +5 mag base on it. So now it's just this big bulky thing in your pocket. Whereas the nice thing about these guns like this is you can buy the compact grip and then you can buy the magazine, which frankly, these +5 extensions cost more than the magazine does itself most of the time anyway. So just, if you carry a Glock, then carry a Glock 17 mag in your pocket instead of buying like like a smaller mag. So the idea for these is going to be, as we keep coming out with these, is to add a base plate to longer magazines for the shorter grips. So it gives your hand something to get your hand on, get a better grip, and that sort of thing. So that's kind of the idea with this product moving forward. Neomag hat.
I was going to say, Shane, do you want us to make one, or is that what you think we should name the mag base? That's the real question.
But it doesn't look as cool, though, Greg. That's true.
I do believe we got kicked off Instagram Live. We haven't had a viewer since the very beginning, and when I looked at Instagram, it doesn't look like we're on there. Even though technically it says we're still live, I don't really understand. But we ironically had a comment from someone that said they were a little disappointed that their Gen 2 deep carry mag holder didn't work with their TTI +5 mag extension because it's still stuck up out of their pocket. Yeah. And I tried to comment back, and I think that's when Instagram kicked us off, even though it was a nice response. Yeah. I think that's when they kicked us off, but I was like, sorry.
Yeah, there's only so much I can do.
I mean, it's a +5. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. It's probably like 4 inches long.
Yeah.
But,
So guys, if you're carrying +5 in your pocket on top of the other magazine, you're probably going to the wrong spot. Just saying.
It's a lot of rounds, man.
Yeah, I just don't see those. I don't
like,
see
an extra magazine is good, but +5 and like I've got base plates to add a couple of extra rounds,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And if I'm going to carry that, yeah, maybe it'll go in my pocket because concealability for in the waistband is going to be minimal without printing, right?
Well, Greg and I just got base plates to work with the magwells we got for the Smith & Wessons. And
get a smaller one, like those +2s.
Well, the ones that we got are +2s. Like, they're +2s, yeah, and they're almost the same size as the standard mag base.
And let me ask, 19 to 23 rounds. Is that going to be a big difference at that point after you've already expended one full magazine,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, I don't.
Yeah. So you don't need a.
Sometimes we get caught up in the products and we forget that we don't necessarily need all of the extra.
The Neomag boot. Shane wants to call it the Neomag boot.
Okay, I do like that.
The mag hat.
I don't know. I like both those. Tell them to carry it in their prison wallet. Dan, you are just full of something today. He's in a mood.
He's our number one fan.
Spicy mood today.
Tiberius is no longer our number one fan.
My goodness. He's one spicy meatball today.
So you're coming out with more. We're super excited about that, Greg. Just wanted to let you know that.
Michael's going to be your number one mag-based customer.
I am your number one fan.
Wait, the guy that wants free products is going to be my biggest fan?
100%.
The greatest thing is I get to R&D and test all of it, so it's wonderful. I'm going to need to borrow your
I'm sending them all to Tib. All right, we ready?
Yep.
I own no staccatos, but sure.
Faith and Fuel, ready and go.
Faith anchors us, fuel drives us. Let's open God's Word and find the wisdom we need to live it out every day.
All right, Tib.
So, Greg was silly enough to give me the Faith and Fuel section, which I was very excited when he did. And I really wanted to stick with the theme of giving back, helping the less fortunate, volunteering, you know, doing good in the community that you live in. So the verse I have is Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So obviously it's a very popular verse. I'm sure everyone here has heard it before. And Jesus, they go on to ask Jesus, you know, when were you sick? When were you in prison? And he answers, it's not about that he was in prison. It's about what you do for your brothers and sisters, you do for me. And verses like this, and there's a lot of other similar idea verses about helping the less fortunate and volunteering your time. These are the type of verses that made me say that, hey, I have a million blessings and I need to do more. I need to give back more. I need to help the less fortunate. So that's why I picked this verse, and I would love to hear everyone's thought on it.
Is it this? So this is why you're Sir Tiberius now?
Yes. Sir. That's why I got knighted.
We still address him as Sir Tiberius from now on. My lord.
Lord Tiberius.
Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to take care and be nice to people that we care about. You know, or maybe people that we see as being higher up than ourselves and whatever that looks like. Yeah, serving them is easy. But what he's calling us to here is to serve the least of these. Serve the people that we, even though we shouldn't, even though we maybe don't even want to, but that we look down upon. The tired, the weary, the poor, the dirty, the less fortunate, the ones that are making poor decisions. I think it's easy for us to make excuses to not take care of certain people. Well, they keep making, they put themselves in this position or whatever. And so we just kind of dust our hands off and walk away. And I'm not saying that there can't be situations where we don't need to like distance ourselves from, from situations that can be,
discerning.
Yeah, for people that are just taking advantage of you, right? Like you don't I think there is some room there for discernment in situations like that. But
sure,
what Jesus is really calling us to is to love the least of these. Is to love the people that is hard to love. And to feed the people that are hard to, I don't know, be around, look at. It's just like, you know.
Yeah, it's just stepping out of your own comfort. It's really, that's kind of what I had in the notes too, is stepping out of your comfort and seeing the humanity in others. a perfect example, the other day I was in town seeing family for a funeral, and there's, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, so this poor boy probably seemed about my age in Memphis, and he's homeless. When I came outside and I was well-dressed going to, you know, the funeral, and he asked me, he's like, do you have any cash? And I don't. Everything's digital nowadays. I just typically don't carry a wallet anymore. It's just my phone. Yep. But when I got in the car, I realized, I was like, I got some cash. And, you know, it was the moment that we all do, because there's times that we've given and there's times that it's been used against us, and people do that, right? But it was, you just keep walking. I don't have anything on me, and keep going, right? And I got to the car, and I found the cash, and I was already late, right?
Yeah.
But it was one of those that is like, I don't need this. It was $7. It's all the cash I had in the car. And I was like, I don't need this. And I gave it to him, and I said a prayer for him real quick. And I can't tell you how much it paid back. Like,
sure.
Not even 2 weeks later, I have some sponsorships, some business, and everything else. And it's not to boast my good deed or anything like that. It's just to say, just what this verse talks about is getting outside of your comfort zone, understanding humility, and then being there for others to serve. And it's not always easy, but sometimes those little things that, and maybe that $7 did nothing for him, right? Or maybe it gave him a nice cold beverage to hydrate or a snack, you know, but it was something. And I think that's what this verse talks about. It's just acting on your faith, acting on your compassion, allowing Jesus to speak on the tangibles that we need, and showing that you can serve him directly and not indirectly, but the bipartisan of that, or the byproduct of that, is you're then serving that person. And this young man may never know Christ. He may never come to know Jesus. But I know that in that moment, I said a prayer and I was like, Lord, just bless him. Right? Because in the moment of celebrating a life, I also realized that this is the only life we get, whether you put yourself in that situation or by the circumstances that arise that you got in that situation. So that's, for me, what this passage really speaks is just the importance of stepping out of your comfort and humanity and having compassion to others and serving God. Like, at the end of the day, it's to serve the Lord upstairs, because this is what he tells us.
Yeah. We just lost Tib, just so you know. Not sure what happened.
That's weird.
We'll see if he jumps back in.
Well, Tib, you got kicked out on your Bible verse this week.
But I was going to say, I was actually listening to a podcast yesterday, this morning. I can't remember when I finished it, but it was a couple of pastors discussing things. But one of the things they were talking about, the one pastor was talking about his son in particular, who, when he had graduated from high school, he went off to college and was not living a Christian life. And he's now come back. He quit college. He's going to move on and do some other neat stuff, but he's come back and he's living a good life again. But one of the things he was talking about is how people will look at other folks and they will see the fruitfulness of other people and be jealous. And what I mean by that is they'll see the fruit in their spiritual life, and they will mistake the fruitfulness for times of watering. Right. And what he means by that is, you know, if you think about as a farmer or a gardener, the time of growing, the time of taking the time of making your garden grow, there's watering, you're putting water, putting effort into it. There's going to be a lot of that before you see anything come from it. And I think a lot of what, now I understand there's a call in Matthew, which is we are called to serve the least of these. Why are we called to do that? Not just to take care of them. That is a huge part of it, right? We need to take care of their worldly needs, because there is a point, like, you can't, you know, we see, I think, on social media all the time, like, oh, well, prayer isn't good enough. You know, that's true. We need to take care of worldly needs, because a kid that's starving, if you walk up and say, I'm praying for you, tap them on the knee and walk away, that's not helpful for that poor kid that's starving. Right.
We do need to give them food, but let's give them food and pray for them in that moment. Because there's a opportunity to water. You may not see the fruit, but you have an opportunity for watering. And I think that's one of the things that why Matthew is so important, is that you have an opportunity to water for these people. Mm. You're spreading water on that garden. And Tib is back. Welcome back, Tib. But that's what Matthew, I think, is so important about this verse, is that this is your opportunity to water that garden. you may not get the chance to see the fruit being reaped from that garden. You know, maybe you've moved on to another section of the garden, or you've got another plant you're watering, whatever that is, and somebody else gets to reap that fruit. But the importance of this is that it's watering. You are watering something, regardless of whether you get to see the fruition of that effort. This is just watering. Yeah. So, and it goes back to the Great Commission of we have to be out there and spreading that. And if we can't, if someone can't think about how to, if they're only thinking about survival, meaning they don't know where their next meal is coming from, or if they don't know how they're going to sleep tonight safely, they're not thinking about salvation.
Yep.
They're just thinking about survival.
Survive, yeah.
So if we can help them survive, then we can help them think about salvation too. We can help them with that. So again, it comes back to watering. Where can we water? If that makes sense. I don't know if
it's a good analogy.
Analogy. That's what I'm looking for.
That's a good one.
Analogy makes sense.
Yeah. You never know. Like when you help people, help a stranger or anything like that, like it says here, like you never know, like you don't get to see what that watering does to that flower, that blossoming, but.
And we're not called to be the one that fixes. We're just called to
serve,
to invest and to serve. And, a couple more verses that I pulled up here that I thought of. This is in John 13, 34, 35. It says, a new covenant I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have one love for one another. This is a verse I've been thinking about lately. It's just, and I think we've talked about on the podcast before, just the fruits of the Spirit. And when you are following Christ and you're trying to be more like him and you experience the joy that comes from following Jesus, you just want to, that just comes out of you.
Yeah.
From the heart, the mouth will speak. And so it's just, you want to serve and you want to love other people because you are experiencing a love from Christ. And so, just we are called to love without exception. Because this next verse, Luke 6:35, says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. And there's some extreme stuff here. And I lead a small group in my church, and we were just talking on Monday about how we're supposed to look different. We should look different from the world. We should be acting different from the world. We should be loving people different than the world. We should be loving, it seems like if you look politically, one party says we should love these people, but not these people. And the other party says, but we should love these people and not the other people. We should be loving everybody, even our enemies. We should be doing good and lending, expecting nothing in return. We shouldn't be trying to figure out if we should help people out dependent and based on if we're going to get anything back in back for that.
Yes. It's not everything's transactional.
No, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah. Dan actually has a scripture now. You need to read all of Hebrews 13 because there's a lot to it. But Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
I was thinking about that.
Goes right back to what you're saying. Now, obviously, we can't simply just be talking about angels and that kind of thing. But the point is the same. We can't pick and choose. It's not a picky, choosy type of situation. We need to be loving everybody. Now, go read the rest of Hebrews 13. It gives you a lot. It's not just that. But the point is really well done. Thanks, Dan.
And another little side story, right? I met a wonderful gentleman many years ago at a class I had the honor of teaching, right? And it was with a great organization. And I didn't see him for years past, and I saw him this year for the first time. And immediately as he saw me, he came up to me to address me, which I'm just an average Joe. I'm just another guy that has a passion in this industry. But he was so excited to see me, and we sat down and had a great conversation. And one thing, like watering, right, and I got to see the blossom of it later on many years later. He's in the industry doing what he loves. He found God, and he said, you treated me like you treated everyone else that day. And there were some quote unquote, influencers and YouTube stars like Tib. He wasn't there, but other YouTube stars. And he felt that he just didn't stand amongst him. And I was like, I didn't know any of y'all. Y'all were all the same to me, right? You were all the same. We're all men with a passion and here to train. Mm-hmm. So that's a perfect example. I just had to share that light is, you know, getting to water something and not even knowing it. And it was just being yourself and serving other people, but treating everyone the same, kind of to the equation of Hebrews there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like these.
Tim, do you have anything where you want to add? It's like we took over.
No, it's fine. My computer freaked out and got me off my train of thought, and I'm good. Thank you.
I was just going to, maybe last thing to this is, so we see at the end of the chapter of Matthew 25 that Tib brought up here, it says, starting in verse 45, then he will answer them saying, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And then it says, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And then in Luke, the one verse I read, it says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Like, there, while it should not be transactional here, Jesus does promise a reward to looking different and to following him, right, and to being like him and loving like him. Like, there is a greater purpose to all this. And again, it should not just be this transactional thing. I'm doing this so I can go to heaven. That's not the heart of it either. But I'm doing this because I was loved first. And so I want to love like Jesus. And then through that love and the faith that we have, there is a reward, and there is another side to this. Like, if we don't do this, they will go away into eternal punishment. Like, there is that overflow. Again, it's not works. This is not a works-based thing I'm saying, but this is out of the overflow of our spirit. There is another side to this, I guess is what I'm saying there. Yeah, any other thoughts on from people here? What Stav said. Hi, Stav.
Yeah, I think there was one. And she equipped herself, said, God commissioned us to go and tell them, go love them, but he didn't say it's our job to save them. And she actually just replied again.
Yeah, so that's from Stav on YouTube. Says, what's interesting is that when the Holy Spirit regenerates you and makes you a new creature, the reward isn't even the motivation. It's our love for God and the kingdom and our gratitude. Well said.
Well said, yeah.
That's what I was trying to say, but she said it better. And then Dan,
pulling out Revelation.
Oh no!
Hold on.
Oh, it's scary.
I got it. Do I read it? Oh no! Here we go. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Thanks, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been the most tame verse in Revelation.
It is a wild book. That's true.
I love it.
It's, yeah. I need a, like, someone to explain it as I read it. Or, like, yeah, translator.
A good commentary is a must. All right, good stuff, guys and gals.
Right. Are you guys ready to wrap it up?
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
It's you, buddy.
He's like, it's me this week.
Thanks for tuning in to Life, Liberty, and Equipped. If today's conversation challenged you, encouraged you, or helped you get more equipped to pursue your mission, share it with a friend, drop a comment, and leave us a review.
Don't forget We go live on the Neomag YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram if it lets us. So be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you can be part of the next live show.
And if you're not already part of the Neomag Insiders Club, now's the time. Get early access to Neomag gear, exclusive content, and front row seats to everything we're building. Go to theneomag.com to sign up now.
Until next time, live boldly, stand for liberty, and stay equipped.
See you soon. Bye.